Wow. Well, you know, today is the day that Pentecost is celebrated. The church just became the church. The church just was empowered to be who God called them to be. It's, you know, that's actually Jewish holiday was 50 days. Pentecost means 50 days. After Passover was the feast of harvest. They would have a feast of the harvest. And little did they know that the Holy Spirit was going to begin a real harvest. As on that day, 3,000 new souls came into the kingdom. They'd never seen anything like that before. They gathered together the few believers that were there. They gathered together in a room. And they waited there. Jesus said, wait till he comes. You'll know. And he came. And they were empowered. And they went from guys who were afraid to even go outside for fear that their lives would be taken because they were associated with Jesus. They went from guys who didn't want to be seen. They wanted to hide to, let me out there. Woo! I got Jesus to bring to people. I got life to bring to people. I mean, how did that happen? Pentecost. The Spirit of God came upon them. I thought it would be good to talk somewhat about. Seemed good to me and the Holy Spirit. How's that sound? That it would be good today to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. It's vast. It's huge, and again, we're not going to come to the end of it. We're just going to keep seeing more and more, how deeper and how greater, and how he wants to open up and reveal to us. It's totally phenomenal. But there's a couple aspects of his work that I mean, for the longest time as a Christian, I did not understand, and it's critical that I understood and critical that all of us understand how he works in those areas so that there can be 24/7 worship in us, 24/7 communion with the Spirit of God, 24/7 in the glory zone. It's not, he doesn't want us going in and out. He doesn't want us, you know, oh God, come, Holy Spirit, come, I need you. He wants us to know he's here. And he's here to have communion. He's here to have fellowship. He's here to bring us into the glory of God. He wants us to know that. He's placed on my heart in Acts chapter 2. It says that they were all together. They were all together in one accord. Hey, do you know, when Pentecost came, when the Spirit came upon them, they were all together. Okay, the Holy Spirit can come on people individually. But his purpose, his intention was to come on the church. To come on us corporately. That's why in Hebrews he says, do not forsake the assembling together. Do not forsake coming and meeting together, because there's things that the Spirit of God will only do as we gather together. There's things that are only going to happen as we gather together. It's not going to be, you know, you understand that the enemy brought this thing on. Of course, God had a purpose, greater purpose out of all of it, to separate and divide. He wants to separate us because he knows that God, when we two or three believers or 15 or 20 or 50 gather together, hang on, put your seatbelts on, because what you're going to see the Holy Ghost do is something different than you will ever see individually. It's necessary. It's necessary. God established the church that way, and he's only going to build the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. How's he going to do it? The Spirit of God's going to do it. As he works on us individually, but also corporately, we can't forsake that. We can't forsake that. We talked last week about the unity of the Spirit and the unity of faith. And I'm going to talk to you today right in here with the fellowship of the Spirit. What does it mean to fellowship in the Spirit? What does that mean? Man, I was clueless for years what that meant. And he's beginning. Don't you love it when he brings clarity to you? Don't you love it when, you know, the scriptures come alive and it's not just head knowledge, but now it's reality to you? Don't you love that? He loves to do that too. So, I mean, these guys, the Spirit of God came upon them, and it says that there were people for the feast. They were from all Jews from all over, different countries, everywhere they came. They had different languages, and it was so cool because as the Spirit came upon them, it was like a sound of a mighty rushing wind. And then cloven fire set on their heads. Can you imagine looking at each other right now? This fire burning on your head. Yo, land. Wow. You got one too. Oh, you got one. Oh my gosh, he's on all of us. Whoa. And the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And it was so cool because it wasn't just them that heard it. How many of you have been in your house when there's a hurricane? And you hear the wind outside. And it sounds like, is my roof coming off? It had to be. It was a boy. And I heard about this thing. It was in a Bible study, and the boy, they were talking about that, and the little boy says, "Man, that sounds like a disaster coming. What happened?" Well, it was a disaster for the enemy. Okay, the enemy's just got shown to him what God will do through believers who believe. Amazing. And all these people speaking in different languages, and the disciples, they start talking about the works of God, the acts of God, the miracles of God. And these people are hearing them in their own language. Is that cool? And they're saying, "What is this?" Some of them are mocking them, saying they're drunk. Yeah, you know, if you haven't had somebody say to you, "Yo, you're just drunk," well then say, "God, it's okay. If you want to have people think that I'm drunk because I'm so saturated, so soaked, so drenched in you, then that's okay with me. They can think what they want, but I'm bringing you life. But I'm bringing you life." Wow. I remember when I was in the Philippines one time. We had all these villages come from out of the mountain areas. Casey was there. And they had different dialects. So we already had two interpreters. So one's interpreting the one dialect, and the other one's interpreting from that dialect into their dialect. And there was more other dialects, and they couldn't have, you know, 5-6 interpreters. And we wouldn't get anywhere, right? And it was so cool because it was this hooting and hollering going on, you know, like, you know, while we're sharing. And they come down afterwards, and Elmerson, our host, came up to me and said, "I gotta tell you what happened." I said, "What?" He said, "While you were talking in English, the people of different dialects were hearing you in their native language." Whew. Whoa! I was clueless. I didn't have any idea. And it's okay. We can be clueless. Okay, as long as the Holy Spirit is doing stuff like that and touching people, that's fine. Go ahead. But, you know, believe him for it. Believe him to do whatever he needs to do. And then he talks about, you know, the prophecy of Joel. He says, "These things that you see are those which were prophesied." You read the prophecy, and there's not anything in there that happened at Pentecost. So what was he talking about? What he's trying to get across is that the Spirit of God will move in unusual ways, different ways than we could ever think. You're never going to put him in a box. You're never going to put him in a place where, oh, he only does this, and he only moves this way, and he only moves this way. You're not gonna. It's not going to happen. Oh, he's unlimited in the ways that he can move. He's unlimited in the ways he can touch people. He's unlimited. He's a creator God. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This, when we first started our first big Bible study at our house, the church that we were in, a large church, and they said, "What do you want to call the group?" And we prayed, and we felt God gave us Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read that to you because I, again, was clueless about, you know, why we use that verse, but Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, and on he goes. Fellowship of the Spirit, of one love. Wow. You see, a fellowship of the Spirit is not just an exchange of ideas. It's not just an exchange of opinions. Well, what do you think? Well, what do you think? Well, what do you think? That's not the fellowship of the Spirit. It can be part of it. Okay, but the fellowship of the Spirit, what is it really? It is like, I like Psalm 42:7, that deep is calling unto deep. And right now, deep is our spirit man, our spirit woman. And right now, your spirit woman, your spirit man is looking to this spirit man in the deep place to release to your deep. We want to have her this morning, a ministry of the deep. We want to have the fellowship of the deep. We want to have fellowship of spirit to spirit on a spirit level. Not on a mental level. You know, Apostle Paul said, I don't come with the wisdom of men. There's times you're going to think I'm stupid. There are times you're going to, you know, you're just not going to get it. I don't want to give you information. I don't want to give you scriptural facts. I don't want to give you things that you're going to say, yes, good word, and it just gets locked in right there. True ministry is ministry on the spirit level. Out of the spirit, right to your spirit. Out of the spirit, right to your spirit. And I want the same back from you. I want ministry out of your spirit, not out of your head. I want it out of your spirit. And we've all had those times where, you know, we've released words, we've released hugs, we've released holy kisses, we released, you know, all kinds of things that had come out of our spirit, but we didn't know it was coming out of our spirit. And the people say, wow, man, you really helped me. All we can do, if we're just giving information and we're teaching facts that are true, but all we can do is, that's on a soul level, okay, all we can do is help somebody's soul. I don't want that. I want your soul help. Okay, it needs to be saved. You know that. Your soul needs to be saved. I want it saved. I want it helped. But I want to release life. I want to release life. That's what I want to do. And however the Holy Spirit wants to do that, I don't care. It's okay with me. Man, if I could release life to you, and he told me to stand on my head and you know, bounce up and down, I would do it. I wouldn't do it without him telling me to. As I think I'd get hurt. Yeah. Proverbs 16. Yee! Proverbs 16, verse 25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Wow. Well, the way that seems right to so much of the church around the world is to convey intellectual knowledge, convey scriptural intellectual knowledge, to convey, 7 points, 6 points, 5 points, to convey, okay, here's my eighth point, and this one's going to do it for you. Okay, to convey things that are like that so that you can remember that and you can go out and try to do it. In Christianity, no. My goal is to get you some of you may already be way ahead of me, and I praise God for that. But learning to live by Him, period. Learning to live by His leading. Learning to live by His life in us. And His desire to flow through us. God's desire is for us to give and get help on an inner level, on the spirit level, spirit man to spirit man. Wow. And there's a process. There's a process that he tells us about in Scripture. And I know when Jesus was talking about those things that the disciples had to be thinking, I don't get it, Jesus. But when Pentecost came and the Spirit of God came upon them, I'm sure he brought to their remembrance what Jesus said. That they're, okay, all right, now we get it. I love that. You know, sometimes I'll read a scripture so many times and then finally, oh, that's what you're saying. Jesus said, my words in John 6:53, my words, they are spirit and they are life. That's the Jesus living in us. Your words, are they spirit and are they life? You don't make that happen. You trust him to do that. That's and then he does it. 2 Corinthians, I gotta look. I think it's chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Anybody there? 2 Corinthians. Woo-hoo! Chapter 3. Let's do verse 4. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Don't think anything that provides you sufficiency comes from you, comes from him, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. We are ministers of the spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. For years, I was getting the letter, getting the letter, getting the letter. What's that? That's the written word to, here it is, you better go do it. Here it is, you better go do it. It's killing me. It's killing me. I don't know how many times it's killing me. You ever say that? It's killing me. But the Spirit gives life. That's the fellowship of the Spirit. Exchange of life. What does that mean? You're going to feel refreshed. If I am ministering to you out of my spirit, you're going to be refreshed today. Even though I may give you some hard things. Okay? You're going to be refreshed. You're going to be renewed. You're going to be, yes, God! Because that's what the Spirit does. But if I was to give it to you according to the letter, you might be really depressed. Because you're thinking, I can't ever do that. You find yourself thinking you can do it. Well, you can do it. But he can. And he will. And that's just what he does. Ministry of the Spirit. So what do we want to do? We want to learn to release our spirit. Our spirit, which is born in heaven, and the Holy Spirit are one, right? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 6:17, they're one, okay? So we want to learn to release our spirit because the Holy Spirit's going to be released with our spirit together, okay? I found years ago as I'm going through the scriptures, I'm seeing in the New Covenant, In New Testament, I'm seeing the word spirit used so many times, and sometimes it's capital S, and sometimes it's small s. And I'm looking at different versions, and they don't match. Sometimes they got a big S, sometimes they got a small s. And I'm thinking, well, which is it? For the longest time, I'm thinking, which is it? Is it Holy Spirit, or is it my spirit? Which is it, big S, little s? Which is it? And then finally, I came to understand, it's both. Because you'll never be separated again. It's the Holy Spirit and your spirit have become one, never to be separated again. So what he's bringing, you're bringing. Yeah? So we want to release and learn to release our spirit. You know, when you're talking, when somebody's talking and you're listening, there's one of two things being released. You're either getting any release from their soul, or you're getting a release from their spirit. But how do you know? You know. You know, don't try to use this knower, okay? Use this knower. Like, whoa, okay, that's coming from God. That's coming from God. Yeah. In order, this is what I've discovered, okay? I'm going to show you the scriptures for these, but this is what I've discovered. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, in order to bring us to the place where we will freely flow and freely be released all the time, and where we can remain, come to that place of remaining, abiding in His presence, in His glory. There's a couple processes that He talks about. I'll show you the scriptures. Okay? I'm just going to tell you where I'm going. It took me a long time to learn this, okay? And then I kicked against the goads and I struggled with it for a long time after that, and I think I'm yielded now, I think. But the time will tell. Two ways, okay? One, this outer man, the inner man is your spirit man, okay? Your inner man, this one with the Holy Spirit, that's your inner man. Scripture talks about your inner man and your outer man. Your outer man is your soul, and the outermost man is your body, okay? So the Holy Spirit, our spirit, needs to go through. If it's coming from in here out, it's got to go through the soul. It's got to go through the soul. Now, we know when we're born again, our spirit's born again, but our soul is not born again, right? Our soul now, Scripture says, needs to be saved. He says that unto the salvation of your soul. Hebrews and Peter both talk about that, a fact that our soul, our mind, will, and emotions now needs to be saved. We come into the kingdom with a brand new spirit, but we still got the old mind. We still got the old emotions. We got all that stuff, okay? And that needs to be saved. So here I am. I'm a young Christian, and I'm going around checking these people who, you know, I hear there's some great exploits being done through these people, and watching them, and I see miracles and things happening, and I'm like, wow. And I said, wow, they must be really, really, really full of Jesus. And I started to get to talk to some of them, and I was shocked. It's like these people, not all of them, but a good percentage of them, who are doing miracles, on one-on-one just talking, it's like they're talking like somebody who's not even saved. They're using words like, you know, they're not good. I mean, I heard swear words come out of their mouth, and I'm thinking, whoa, I was backing up big time. I don't get this, God. How can you possibly be doing this through someone that's, I mean, they're not. And what He showed me was, okay, available for every single person is the Spirit will come upon you to do works of ministry. Jesus said, you wait in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes upon you, and He will give you dynamite, dunamis power, will come upon you to be a testimony to Me, to be a witness to Me, to the world around you. So we can be a brand new Christian, okay? Our head's still all messed up. Not even begun to be renewed yet. There's been no repentance other than the initial repentance that we had, realizing that, you know, we needed to place faith in Jesus. There's been none of that there yet. We're a brand new Christian and believe that God can lay hands on the sick. And I go pray for somebody who's sick, and the Spirit of God comes on that kid or person and releases life. A miracle happens, but then talk to the kid. I don't know, I'm surprised God did that. He's kind of a jerk, you know. And you went, what? You see, there's a disconnect. God so loves people that He will use anyone that He's living in. He will come upon us to do works. But that's not his greatest goal. His greatest goal is to flow out of us freely. And this, for the Spirit to do that, it's got to go through our soul that's unrenewed, right? So He starts us on this process. You can read it in Hebrews chapter, maybe we should read it. Hebrews chapter 12, he's talking about the do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Verse 5, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. Oh, we're thinking, wait a minute. You're going to chasten me? You're going to scourge me? Understand this. He's not chastening your spirit man. He's not scourging your spirit man. Your spirit man, he sees nothing wrong with. He's made it pure. He's made it holy. He's made it powerful. The issue is our soul. He sees those things that are there that are hindering him coming out. And what he wants is for us to freely be able to release his life, to release his spirit anytime, any place. Not just when we have somebody to pray for and he comes upon us for prayer. No, anytime we're even in a room, we're releasing the spirit. We're releasing the spirit. And so there's some things he needs to do. He says, verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without, how many of you have children and you never chasten them? You just let them do whatever they want to do. Nobody? Why? Because you can picture the effects of that child, right? Oh, okay. How much greater? Well, the one who made us and knows our state want to do this, but understand the goal is always love. The goal is always to bring us to fulfillment, to bring us to total satisfaction. What could be greater than the Spirit of Jesus himself flowing through us, releasing out of us everywhere we go without us even thinking about it? What would be greater than you just walking along and somebody coming up and just touch your clothes? Because you're releasing. Just touch your clothes. What would be greater than just walking down the street with a bunch of sick people laying there, okay? And because you're releasing because the Spirit of God is, there's no hindrance now. Just releasing it. The people are just getting up, right? But you're not even thinking about it. Because there's been a dealing to remove the obstruction. And I didn't know that God was doing that for years. And I kicked against it and I fought against it. And I looked at all the things that were troublesome and producing pressure for me and producing trials and tribulations for me. You know, like that's, this is coming straight out of the pit from the devil. And I'm going to resist you and I'm not going to put up with this. Rather than lift my hands up and say, thank you, Lord. You have a greater purpose for all of this. Thank you, Lord. Your intention, your purposes are wonderful. I yield to you. I surrender to you. No harm's going to come to me. I'm going to step into glory zone because I'm trusting in you. See, I didn't know that for years. God is God. God is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Don't ever give the enemy place over God. He is God, and he loves you. He's a lover. He's your lover. And he has great, great, tremendous plans for you. And he knows that we need. Now, I don't think all of you are too much undifferent than me. That I came into the Christian life with some attitudes. I came into the Christian life with some wrong ideas about things. I'm not the only one, right? Okay. And I had the idea that it was all just going to get fixed by, you know, me reading some scriptures and, you know, God was just going to somehow miraculously just make everything all better and everything go away. And I wasn't going to have problems anymore. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. He did not say, okay, you're not going to have any tribulation after the first couple months. First few months might be rough, okay, but after that, you're not going to have. No, no, no. In this life, period, you're going to have tribulation. But take heart. I've overcome it all. And I'm going to let you walk in that overcoming power. Woo-hoo-hoo! Okay, that's better. It's better than me just doing it. It's for you to actually walk in it and see, okay, together I'm walking with the Lord in overcoming power. Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but for our own profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, right? I mean, you're never happy when you're in the middle of it, right? But you know, then I found out about James, who says, consider it all pure joy. Ooh. And I started getting excited about trials. I started getting excited about testings and problems. Because I'm going to get to step into the miracle zone. I'm going to get to step in to the place where only God can do what's being done. He says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. To those who have been trained by it. How many of you know we're in training? Bye. How long are we going to be in training? Not forever. While we're here. When you stop sucking air, you're done training. But we can come to a place that's far greater than what your mind can comprehend right here on this side. I'm absolutely, absolutely convinced of that. I want you to look at this. Look at this, John. I'm gonna do this in the Amplified, okay? John chapter 12. John 12, verse 24, 25. Jesus talking. Now I know that it. Later on, after Pentecost, the disciples, this really hit them, what he said. Probably when he said it, it just went. Psh. Verse 24, John 12, 24. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat fall into the ground and dies, it remains just one grain. It never becomes more, but it lives by itself alone. But if it dies, it produces many others and yields a rich harvest. Okay. You understand that you're a nut. And in the nut is the life of God. Okay. Now, you could have a church building full of nuts. That there's no cracks in them. Although the life of God is in them. It needs to be cracked so the life can come out. So what happens? How do you take a nut, a kernel of wheat, and get it to produce many more? You've got to bury it in the ground, put water on it, put heat on it, put pressure on it, and it's working until it breaks open, and then life can come. And many, many lives can come. He says, I'm sure they didn't get it. I didn't get it the first 50 times I read it. What is it that dies? It's the cracking of the shell. It's our soul life. It's us living out of our soul, out of our emotions, out of our personal thinking. It's trying to live out of that. That needs to be broken. It's like when you get a wild horse, a wild stallion. Every one of us were like wild stallions when we came to Jesus. We all were independent and doing our own thing and going our own way. Each of us has gone his own way, Scripture says. Okay, and what do you have to do with a wild horse? You got to break it. What does that mean? You need to teach it to yield. Teach it to be led and not to try to lead. Teach it to respond to the master. He says in verse 25, anyone who loves his life That suke, which means soul, anyone who loves his soul, okay? You love to show people how smart you are. You don't know anybody like that, right? You love to show people, you know, how much you can do, how talented you are, how great you are, how good you are at things. You just, you know, what is he saying? If we're good, then we're good because of God. But we didn't come to God that way. We came to God thinking we were good because we were good. And he says, anyone who loves his soul loses it, but anyone who hates his soul in this world will keep it to life eternal. Whoever has no love for, no concern for, no regard for his life here on earth, but despises it, preserves his life forever and ever. He's saying, in comparison, we need to look at our soul life as that's not what's going to rule me anymore. That's not what's going to run me anymore. Our soul is to be an outworking of our mind, will, and emotions, an outworking of our spirit. Should be the expression of our spirit, right? Are you with me? Look at this one. Let's go to verse 3. When Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of ointment, beautiful perfume of pure nard. Okay, why does God use the word pure? Because your spirit is pure. The Holy Spirit is pure. Your spirit is pure. So he's given us an example of an alabaster jar, a jar filled with pure perfume, beautiful, pure perfume. He says, you got a jar here. And it's filled with the beautiful perfume of Jesus Christ. And he said, she comes, and very costly and precious. What was costly and precious? The jar? The perfume. And she broke the jar and poured the perfume over his head. And they were saying, why did you let her do that for? That could have been sold for a lot of money. That could have helped people. He says, no, she did the right thing. You see, there needs to be a breaking of our outer man where it's not us trying to live. It's us yielding to him living through us. There needs to be a surrender. And that surrender comes one or two ways, okay, from what I can see. There's the discipline of the Holy Spirit, which is he brings us into trials and tribulations. What's the fastest way to get you to complain? Bring you in a crisis, right? What's the fastest way to get you worried or upset or anxious about something? Bring you into a crisis, right? Okay, so you know when you're in a crisis and you know when you're responding that way, right? Is there anybody who doesn't know when you're anxious and worried? You know, right? Okay, so he brings one after another, after another, after another. Okay, you say, well, yeah, but I thought that the devil did that. Well, the devil is a pawn for God. Do you know that? It's not the other way around. God uses the enemy. The enemy never uses God. The enemy never has one up on God. He's being used by God. You understand that? Right? So God brings all these things into our life to cause us to die to what we think about it, to us trying to change it, to us trying to do anything, but simply surrender to the fact that the one who made you has got a greater plan that's far superior than anything you're being faced with. And he will take you through. And our response needs to be out of our spirit, together with the Holy Spirit. Our response needs to come out of there, not here. And the response is going to be, thank you, Lord. That's why he says, give thanks in everything. And then he says in Ephesians, give thanks for everything. Why? Because we know his plan is far greater than what we're in. In order for us to step into that, we need to get ourselves out of the way. And he's saying, your soul gets in the way. And it's you've got pure life on the inside. And if it's going through a soul, mind, will, and emotions that are you know, kind of still got a lot of the old ways in there, it gets tainted. It doesn't sound right. Now you have the Creator God living inside of you. Have you ever heard things come out of your mouth like, what did I say? Okay, that just means that the filter's a little bit dirty. And it's just, you know, there's something else that just needs to be fixed. Okay? So I found in my life the main way the Holy Spirit uses is the crises and the trials and the testings, one after another, sometimes big ones, sometimes a whole bunch of little ones, until we put our hands up and say, you know what? God, you're greater than this. You're not ignorant of any of it. You knew all of it before I was ever born. And you made a good plan for every single one of them. And here I am kicking against it. Here I am trying to change it. Here I am trying to get my will, my plan to move you to do something. You already know the best for me. I yield, God. I'm going to have a praise party today. I'm going to praise you and I'm going to thank you for your involvement in my life. And then the other way is, that's the primary way, at least in my life, I think probably is for you too. Anybody here come up short on the amount of testings you've had? Anybody here saying, you know, I don't think I've had very many, but not likely, but our response is everything in bringing us to that place where it's not our soul that's in control anymore, but now it's the Spirit of God in control. But look at this scripture, Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to show you this other one. These are two main ways that I see. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, and I'm still in the Amplified. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit. The word of God will bring separation between your soul and your spirit. For years, I was clueless as to what was my spirit and what was my soul. I didn't know. What's the difference? He's saying the word of God is going to bring division between the two. What does that mean? He says the word is powerful and the word is effective and it's operative. Okay, when we come into the light, when the Holy Spirit brings us to a moment of light, and in his light, everything that's going on gets exposed because it can be seen. He sees it all, right? But then he allows us to see it. Right? You remember those moments where, you know, you could be doing anything. You could just be working, going about your day. And then all of a sudden, you see something that you thought nothing of, that you did or you said. And you saw your motive is wrong. You saw your words were wrong. You just came into the light. And he just then showed you what was of your soul and what was of the spirit. He wants to do that a lot more. The first time that I ever preached, ever, many, many years ago. I don't know how many years ago that was. A long time ago. Seemed like a long time ago. But maybe it's not a long time ago. I just remembering my daddy when he was close to getting ready to go home to be with the Lord. And he looked me straight in the eyes, man. So many times he looked me straight in the eyes. Oh. And it was like Jesus himself was looking at me. And he says, son, it was just yesterday I got married to your mother. It was just yesterday I had your sister and had you and then had your brother. It was just yesterday that we did this and did that and did this. It was just yesterday. And here I am. He He says, really, life's like a vapor. When you're in today, it seems like it's long. And when you look back, your life, it's like a vapor. It goes by so quickly. He says, just like God lives through you. Just praise Him today. Just honor Him today. Okay. Wow. How many of you have had people in your life that you knew it was God speaking through them? Thankful for that. Thankful. Thankful for that. Now I need to remember where I was going to go. Okay. To separate the joints, or to separate the marrow, is not easy. It's a very difficult thing. The marrow, you got to crack open the bone and then get inside. Now, how do you separate the marrow? I mean, it's like literally impossible in the natural, right? Okay, he compares that to the dividing of your soul and your spirit. It's impossible for us to do, but it's necessary for us to do. So the first time that I ever preached, I'm standing up in front, and this church I was in, it was 500, two services, 508 service. And they told me that they said, you're going to preach. I said, I'm not a preacher. I've never done that before. I'm not doing it. They said, you're going to preach. I said, well, what am I supposed to say? They said, well, the pastor is sitting there with the 15 elders of the church, and he says, well, just take the next verse. I've been going through Ephesians. Just take the next verse and talk about it. I said, I don't know what to talk about. They said, you're going to do it. And they're all looking at me, pointing their finger. You're going to preach. Well, what's the next verse? It's Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk on wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And the only thing I knew up to that point was I had had encounters, because I was growing in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and He was teaching me. And I said, okay, I'll talk about Holy Spirit. I don't have any idea, you know, what to do. And this is I'm gonna tell you what happened to me. It's the only time it's ever happened to me. Because He wanted to show me where He wanted us to go. And it was absolutely off the wall phenomenal. It's never happened since. I'm standing up there in front of all these people, and I'm talking about Holy Spirit, talking about, you know, how he leads us, and how much he loves us, and how much he wants us to know Jesus, and, you know, and how, talking about things like him speaking to Nancy and saying, you need to go see your grandpa right now. And Nancy said to me, we need to go see grandpa right now. I said, okay. Well, we did. We called him and said, we're coming to see you. We went to see him, had a good time together. He gave us his Encyclopedia Britannicus. and we had a good time together. We got back home, got a phone call. He died. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, you knew. And you wanted us to have that. And we listened. Wow. So I'm standing up there, and it was like somebody poured warm water over my head. Now, this is bizarre, okay? For the longest time, I didn't tell anybody about this. It was like I stepped outside of my body, and I'm looking at my body. I'm a spirit man now. I'm standing as a spirit man, looking at my body. Talk. And I just released the words of this message, and I said, I know we don't really have altar calls much in this church, but you know, if you were touched by God today, then you come up here. The whole church got up, and they came up, and they all on their face. And I'm like, what are you doing, God? Second service, the same thing. And they said they recorded it, and they said, it was five of them, and they went over and over and over. Both recordings, they said, every word, every inflection are identical. Both services, both messages, identical. They said, you can't tell the difference. And he did the same thing the second service. Now, what was that? I didn't know. I just thought, man, if this is ministry, this is what I want to do the rest of my life. Holy mackerel, this is awesome. You know, what he was showing me was the separation. He was separated because my soul was still very much in control. My soul was still very much in charge. There's things that I was trying to tackle in my life, and he wanted it to be nothing but pure spirit. Just pure spirit. And what he did was he like took that out of the way and let me watch it happen. I don't know if this is making sense to you. It was phenomenal for me. I didn't know that right then there was separation in me between soul and spirit. And at that, now he's going to take many, many, many years to bring me to the place where my soul is now out of the way and just a servant of the Spirit, so he can do that on a regular basis through me. I didn't know. He was going to take many years through many trials and many tribulations to bring me to the place, to the end of myself, end of my soul life, where my soul now becomes the servant of the King himself living in me. I didn't know. And truly, you know, what he was showing me was, this is the way I want you to live. This is the way I want my body, the church to live, all those who belong to me. But I have to bring you there. There's a process you're going to need to go through. Don't kick against it, please. Let me do my work. And I'll bring you to a place where it'll just simply be Jesus. And it was many years before it started clicking that's what was going on there. It was many years. And now it's, have your way, Lord. Have you ever said that? Have your way, Lord. Have you ever said that but not really meant it?
Yeah.
Oh, have your way, but I really want my way too. Can we have both, God? That's, well, he brings us to the place where we can see what's of our soul. What's of our soul is, well, can I have my way too? Okay, there's still some soul life there, still trying to control, okay? And the light comes, and he says here, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. When the light comes, it exposes our motives for what we're doing, exposes our what's behind what we're saying and what we're doing. Okay, if the light doesn't come, we just think everything's cool. But because we need to die to those things so that he can freely flow through us, there's those moments that a flash of light just comes. And don't kick against that. Don't just write it off. Allow the Spirit of God to release you. Now here, he doesn't come and show us something that it's wrong thoughts, it's wrong motives. He doesn't just come and show you that and then expect you to do something about it. When the light comes, it slays. When the light comes and exposes some area of your soul that's blocking the move of the Spirit, at the same time, he removes it. So whatever area he's showing you, when it comes in the light, he removes it. You now get a slice of opening in your soul. When he exposes that area, the light hits it. And light hits it, purifies, it's like a laser. Gone. There's no effort on our part. He doesn't say, okay, now you got to go do these things to get your act cleaned up. Now you got to go try to get these things out of your life. No, that's religion. That's not God. When his light comes, it vaporizes that very area that he showed you. And I began to see that. I began to realize what he's doing, and I began thinking, can you just do that with everything, God, all at once? Can you just like vaporize? Well, he probably could, but you know, I think we need to learn to roll with him in the process. You know? You know what I'm saying? How many of you, for years it was this way with me, it's becoming less and less now, where, you know, I'm working during the day, and it was like I had to, if I wanted to have, some intimacy and some worship, and I wanted to have some quality time with God, I'd have to stop working and go somewhere. I'd have to stop working and go in a corner, in a closet, somewhere to be alone. And I used to have like, okay, at the top of every hour, I'm going to stop what I'm doing and I'm going to pray for 5 minutes. You know, I thought that I had to do that in order to stay in the presence, in order to stay. You cannot maintain the presence of God in your memory. Your mind, your will, your emotions are not spirit. Your spirit is spirit. And we worship him in spirit. We fellowship with him in spirit. And he wants us to come to the place where we can abide in his presence all the time. To be able to look in the face of Jesus all the time. We're carrying on a conversation, but on the inside, I'm communing with the Spirit of God. I'm in his presence. Whatever we're doing. And he's been teaching me and training me that while I'm working, it's not like I have to stop what I'm doing in order to have that. He's training me. No. No. Your soul is becoming less dominant. Your soul is becoming, losing its control. And now, and not forcing you to, it's like everything's mixed together. It's like, see that there is division there. Your spirit man is in control. And your spirit man can remain in fellowship 24/7. Your spirit man can remain in worship 24/7. Now, I don't know, if I'm telling you something that maybe seems far-fetched, y'all have tasted it, right? Y'all have tasted it, right? Those moments when you're doing something or you're in conversation with someone, but you're abiding in him and you know it. You're in his presence and you know it, even though you're doing something externally. See, that's the separation that's happening. And it's being done by the Spirit of God. And it happens one shot, a blast at a time. Wow. 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 I don't know if this made sense to you or not. It's not our work. It's his work. It's our work just to go along with him. Just to trust him. Okay. All right. Fellowship of the Spirit. Fellowship of the Spirit. Wow. Wow. I need the life in you to hit me. I need the life in you to hit me. We refresh each other out of our spirit. You don't have to have anything to say. It's better when you don't. And then when you open your mouth, he's saying something. It's okay. But he's bringing us back to where he began, and then only better. Wow. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.